Welcome to Korean Context, a behind-the-scenes conversation with the scholars, artists, and opinion makers that bridge our two worlds. My name's Chad O'Carroll, and I'll be your host today. In this episode, I spoke to Philippe Cousteau Jr., the spokesperson for the United States Pavilion at the forthcoming Yeosu Expo in South Korea. Coming from a family renowned for its environmental work, I started by asking Philippe what influenced him to pursue a career as an explorer, social entrepreneur, and environmental advocate.
Well, you know, certainly, as you pointed out, my ancestry, my legacy is always featured as a big part of my life. My grandfather, Jacques Cousteau, was a legendary explorer and filmmaker, traveled around the world, exploring the oceans and opening up the wonders of the environment for millions and millions of people around the world for 50 years, the work that he did. My father as well, Philippe Cousteau Sr., had a great deal of influence and did a lot of work with my grandfather and explored in his own right and was a filmmaker and writer who unfortunately passed away about 6 months before I was born. Nevertheless, he featured prominently in my life and his legacy and really inspiring me to do the work that I do in sharing the wonders of our world and encouraging and empowering people to be agents of change and take action to build a sustainable future for us all.
Yeah, and I mean, you decided to follow in your family footsteps, but why was that? For example, I'm from a family of all architects, and the idea of going into architecture just completely repelled me, and I thought I'm going to do something different. But you obviously were very inspired to continue on with that track. Why was that?
You know, I've always loved exploration and travel. I was always told and empowered by my mother to make my own choices and follow my own path in life. But the opportunity to explore, the opportunity to recognize and realize being inspired by my legacy, but recognize my own path in that journey and the journey of my family was always encouraged by my mother. And I get to do media, I get to write, I get to follow a lot of different passions, working on a program like the USA Pavilion, working on developments and projects we've done, physical developments. I'm launching a sustainable investment fund on Wall Street in April. The idea that all of those are consistent in that they advance the spirit and the mission of sustainability, but they are manifestations of my own interests, and they're ways that I can follow that spirit in my own, following my own passion. So yes, while I'm always inspired, and it was just something that was a calling for me to work in this world, I'm fortunate in that I can recognize that calling in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. And in some ways that maybe my father and grandfather, like working in financial markets, that they never did and that they weren't involved in, but it's still aligned with that mission.
Okay, and given the sort of background you've been involved with, did you ever think that you'd be working on a project like the U.S. Pavilion?
Not quite like the USA Pavilion. You know, over the last 5 or 6 years, I have worked on physical spaces, consulted with resorts and developments on how to make both the actual physical spaces, the buildings, etc., more sustainable, more green, so to speak. But we've also increasingly worked with those destinations to not only create a sustainable physical space, but create experiences for the guests that are on site. So this does, the USA Pavilion and our work on the USA Pavilion does draw from a considerable amount of experience and relationships of our team over the last few years, because I realized many years ago that physical spaces, the time that we spend indoors in buildings, is an amazing opportunity for education. And so over time, we've worked on a lot of destinations. The USA Pavilion is a little bit different. There's, of course, a diplomatic level to the USA Pavilion. We are extremely honored to be able to represent the United States and to be part of this experience. And so it's a little different. It's certainly within our wheelhouse of expertise, but probably never quite imagined that I'd be working on the pavilion or be the spokesperson for the USA Pavilion. but I'm delighted to do so.
Okay, and when were you sort of first approached about doing this? Was it recently? Or
well, we weren't really approached. We applied with the State Department, and we were selected in a competitive process, and we were honored to be selected to work on this this program.
So, in terms of the pavilion itself, can you explain some of the features that are going to be involved, and maybe some of the parts to it that you're most excited about?
One of the pieces that I'm most excited about is really the overall theme of diversity, wonder, and solutions. When I sat down to really start to think about, and our team sat down to really start thinking about this experience and what would we do if indeed we were originally, if we were chosen, and we were, but originally when we were developing the proposal, I realized that the United States has arguably the most diverse ocean and coastal ecosystems of any country in the world. Think of the Inuit tribes and fishermen and culture along Alaska, and the polar bears and the walrus and the whales and the Arctic Ocean there, all the way down the Pacific coast from the Pacific Northwest in Oregon and Washington, down the coast of California, and everything from Native American cultures that have interacted with the oceans for centuries, millennia, to, you know, California surfers and the Beach Boys, and, you know, and Hawaii, and the cultural richness of Hawaii's relationship with the oceans, and then, you know, the outer Pacific Islands and Guam and the Marshall Islands, etc. And then, of course, you go over to the Gulf of Mexico and how rich and varied that is, and multicultural. The, you know, there's a large Asian community that lives in the Gulf and is a big part of the fishing communities down there. Then you go over to the Caribbean, and you have Florida, the Florida Keys, or the U.S. Virgin Islands, and the culture of the Caribbean, and the steel drum bands, and the food, and the island culture there that is very distinct and unique. And going up to the fishermen in Gloucester, Massachusetts, and lobster fishermen there. I mean, it is absolutely remarkable the diversity that exists in the United States, and really is second to none. And that was something for me that struck me and was very exciting as part of this story. So we are delighted to be able to share that with an audience that may not recognize or know the depth of diversity that exists in the U.S. and create an experience that is engaging and exciting, multimedia experience that really brings our visitors, millions of visitors that will come through the USA Pavilion, on an emotional journey of understanding not only the diversity that exists in the United States, but also, you know, isn't just a walkthrough of what exists there, but is also an acknowledgement that we face tremendous challenges in the world today. When you think about climate change and ocean acidification and overfishing, the oceans are the life support system of this planet. And as the expo itself outlines, the oceans and coasts are vital to a successful and sustainable future for this planet and all of us, people. And so we will acknowledge those challenges. And we really believe that we can't avoid that. But as we describe those challenges, we're also really going to focus on solutions and focus on innovation and focus on the shared values that we have with Korea, and with Korea in not just in terms of understanding these issues, but in really finding solutions for the future and working together in partnership to solve what are very serious crises, but we believe are solvable and that there is hope.
And just to rewind a bit, what exactly is a pavilion? For those listeners that are unfamiliar with the concept as a whole, like what's behind YOSO 2012?
Well, the expo in 2012 in Yeosu, Korea, is a world expo, and it will go on for about 3 months between middle of May and through to July, until to August actually. And it is the focus of the expo itself is living oceans and coasts. That's the theme of the whole expo. It is, as I said, a world expo. There will be over 110 countries participating and 9 international organizations, of which we are one of them. And the way it works, essentially, a pavilion is the manifestation is the place where each country gets to tell its own story. So we have our own space to tell the United story of the United States, and there will be over 110 pavilions, which is each its own individual location, so to speak, where each country can tell its story. So the pavilion with respect to the United States is one of many, but we believe it's certainly going to be one of, if not the best pavilions out there.
You mentioned like the diversity of U.S. coastlines, and I guess it does represent the diversity of the United States to some extent. But what about those who are from the middle of the USA? Will this represent their lives in any way? You know, is there any river ecosystem represented in there that will be able to link into Mississippi, for example? Or,
well, certainly the, you know, of course, the theme of the expo itself is living oceans and coasts, but we all live upstream from one another. And, you know, as our friends and partners in Korea understand, even those that live inland, though nowhere is quite as far from the coast in Korea as you get in Oregon, or not Oregon, if you get in Wyoming, say, or Illinois in the United States. But even those who don't live directly on the coast in Korea, similar to many people in the United States, recognize that the oceans and coasts are a huge part of our economy. They're a huge part of our global ecosystem, and people who live along, say, as you mentioned, the Mississippi River, have a direct connection. We, as I said, we all live upstream from one another, and the Mississippi River and the tributaries and rivers throughout the United States have a huge impact on the health of coastal ocean ecosystems, and of course, in return, the health of the Gulf of Mexico, of which the Mississippi flows into, has a huge impact, and the health of the fisheries there in the Gulf of Mexico has a huge impact on the national economy for everybody who lives in the United States, whether they live on a coast or not. So it's all part of a connected story.
Now, of course, Gulf of Mexico, I've seen some of your videos from last year where you were investigating some of the damage related to the unfortunate oil problem that there was. How has that cleaning up process been going so far, and has the damage been reversed, would you say, to that region of the world?
Well, I have to applaud the Republic of Korea for embracing living in oceans and coasts as a theme for this expo, because it's very timely for many different reasons, including the question that you just asked. Increasingly, we are seeing our ocean ecosystem suffer from the excesses of industrial activity, from our pursuits of energy, etc. And the Gulf of Mexico and the Deepwater Horizon oil spill that happened a year and a half ago is a perfect example of that, and a perfect example of how timely it is to be having this discussion, because the Gulf of Mexico is still suffering from that disaster, and it will for a very long time. The effects are irreversible. We are working hard with our partners in conservation to maintain a presence down there and keep making sure that the stories of the Gulf, that the challenges that the Gulf faced and faces and will face, are not forgotten, and that we keep working towards building a sustainable future for the Gulf of Mexico, and really is a microcosm for the challenges that face us in a growing world, a growing society, growing population with respect to oceans everywhere.
And, you know, I guess education is going to be a big part of what your pavilion's about. And, of course, you've been working in the area of education for some time. Can you tell us a bit about the work you've been doing in educating students in the sort of environmental area?
Well, you know, my grandfather had a mantra that he lived by, that, you know, we can't protect things that we don't love, and we can't love things that we don't know. And education has been a part of my legacy and a part of my life for a long, long time. And this pavilion is an incredible opportunity to create that people-to-people education and diplomacy to a certain degree, because this is a chance for us to tell a story face-to-face with people about the wonder of our oceans and coasts, our shared values, and also the opportunities and need, and urgent need that we have to work together to solve these problems. Education is critical. As I said, we can't We can't face and solve these problems if we don't have education of some sort or another. In addition to my work at the Pavilion, I do a lot of work with youth through the nonprofit I run, Earth Echo International, through the documentaries I do for CNN, through books, through financial markets, you know, investment funds. They're all different vehicles of education, just in different ways, in different places. The same kind of canvas, but just different paintings on it. The idea that we all learn in different ways and there are different opportunities and we need to be in a lot of places with a consistent message. So the Pavilion is another way to do that and is another wonderful way to work with our friends and partners in Korea and embrace a positive and sustainable future.
So the Pavilion, I guess most of the visitors there, are they going to be Korean or is it like an international crowd that generally attends this type of event?
Well, the Korean government estimates between 8 and 10 million people will visit the expo over the course of the summer. We anticipate, the United States Pavilion is always a must visit destination. And so we estimate around 2 million people. Probably 80 to 90% of those people will be Korean, but it will also, the remainder will be largely made up of probably Japanese and Chinese and other people from nations from around Asia and Southeast Asia. But there will be a certain international contingent. And of course, there are all the VIPs and representatives from the other 110 or so countries in the expo that will be visiting each of the pavilions as well. So this is a wonderful opportunity to learn about the world and see the world through, 110 countries. That's pretty significant, especially with this this challenging global economy. That's a great victory and a big commitment on the part of a lot of countries to participate and tell their story.
It's also an opportunity for students as well, isn't it? Let's talk a little about the student ambassadorship you're offering. It sounds like a great idea, really interesting, and a great way for students, I guess, to get some exposure to living in Yeosu. I was about to say Seoul.
Just a few hours north is Seoul.
Yeah, so...
Of course. You know, our student ambassador program, it's so exciting. One of the great things about this pavilion is that diplomacy so often happens, it seems to happen in the halls of power. It seems to be, security and economic diplomacy. And this is really an opportunity for us to bring diplomacy down to a person-to-person level and, take it out of too much policy discussions that happen that we see on the news. And this is really a chance for people to see and touch and feel this relationship, this critical relationship between the United States and the Republic of Korea. And one of those pieces is, for us, is the student ambassadorship program. Because while digital experiences and media and multimedia, et cetera, are engaging and will create a really fantastic and emotional experience for the visitors to the pavilion, it's really important for there to be a human connection as well and a personal touch to these types of experiences. So we have invited, and actually the enrollment is still open, for 40. A total we'll select final in final selection will be 40 U.S. citizens or residents who are proficient in Korean of college age level to apply. The application, as I said, is open now for people to apply to come over and be student ambassadors at the USA Pavilion for the course of the summer. We'll fly them over, we put them up, we give them an amazing, one-of-a-kind experience. They're really the faces of the United States. They're really the ambassadors of what we are all about and will be the human touch for the visitors. We'll be interacting with the visitors, we'll be telling stories, we'll be docents, if you will, guiding visitors through the course of the actual pavilion and through the experience of the pavilion. And it will be really a fantastic opportunity, not only for the visitors to the pavilion, but also for the student ambassadors of SEM. Really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And that is pavilion2012.org website is where the applications are still live right now. And we're inviting people, as I said, of college age residents or citizens of the United States that are proficient in Korean. They don't necessarily need to have been to Korea before. They don't necessarily need to know about oceans and coasts. And, we'll do a lot of that training. Mm-hmm. A pretty simple requirement.
Yeah, so I was going to ask about that. I mean, students are welcome from all types of academic
Absolutely.
Background.
Absolutely. All types of academic. The only requirements are They are a resident or citizen of the United States, proficient in Korean, and of university age. Our partner is the University of Virginia that's managing the program, but they, of course, need not come from the University of Virginia. It is open to anyone that meets those requirements, no matter what they're studying, no matter what their interests are, across the spectrum anywhere in the United States.
What do you think are some of the main things that students will, life experiences they'll get out of it, things they'll learn? What are the sort of main benefits for them, would you say?
Well, this is a multitude of benefits. Everything from understanding how the nuts and bolts, so to speak, of this type of an experience and this type of a pavilion works. Invaluable knowledge in understanding how to tell stories, how to communicate. Communication skills are some of the most sought-after skills today for anyone in any field. How to tell stories, how to interact with people, people management skills, people interaction skills. What a way to actually learn Korean than to be there for months at a time. That's really the only way to become truly proficient and fluent in a language, to spend time there, to interact with the people there. In addition, they will have an opportunity to meet high-level ranking diplomats from all over the world that will be coming through the pavilion. They'll be a part of telling the story of the United States and really playing a critical role in this vital part of the relationship between Republic of Korea and the United States. They'll be able to learn other elements about media, how media works, how technology works. It's really a holistic experience and opportunity for these young people, and they'll receive college credit as well as an extra incentive. So it's a pretty enticing opportunity.
So where can people find out more about USA Pavilion?
Of course, we have a website. People can visit pavilion2012.org. But as well, we're using social media, so they can find us on Facebook at USA Pavilion 2012. Of course, on Twitter at USA Pavilion 2012 on Twitter. And follow the progress, exciting progress. We're posting photographs and interviews and message and news stories and articles about the pavilion and the progress that we're making as we move closer and closer towards opening day, which is May 12th, not far away, just a few months, May 12th when we open. So it's a very exciting time, and things are really gearing up. And all the information is there, including the application for the student ambassadors, and we encourage everybody who is interested to participate. And visit as well. Come out and visit. I mean, if you plan on visiting Korea at all at any time, this is the time to do it. In addition, I should add that you know, the student ambassadors and anybody visiting, will, you know, they're not just sequestered necessarily. 24/7, all day, every single day of the entire experience at the pavilion in Yeosu, there's an opportunity to visit 110 different countries, 9 international organizations, and also see the beautiful countryside and the culture and history of Korea itself. So it's a I've been to Korea now once and will be going back many times over the next few months, and already I'm falling in love with it. So it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience. Very exciting, and we look forward to seeing everybody there.
And let's not forget, Kurt Campbell said at Korean American Day he'd be willing to put anyone up that wanted to go.
That's right. Kurt did make that offer, and I'm going to turn it back around and I'm going to say Kurt will be willing to put anyone up when they come visit in Yeosu.
Great.
Indeed.
Okay, well, thanks very much for coming to talk to us today, Philippe, and I wish you all the best, and hopefully I'll be able to come out and visit.
I look forward to it. Yeah. Thanks very much.
Well, I do hope you enjoyed today's podcast. You can download other episodes at our podcast website, which you can find at keia.podbean.com. That's keia.podbean.com. We'd also really appreciate it if you could leave us some feedback using the comment system on our website, or directly on the iTunes Korean Context page. If you'd like to suggest a candidate or topic for a future episode, then be sure to drop me an email, ocarroll@keia.org. That's ocarroll@keia.org. Thanks for tuning in, and hope to catch you next time.